It's on Second Thought. I'm Adam Ragusa, filling in today for Celeste Headlee. Now, few of us journalists ever want to find themselves in the headlines, but that's exactly what happened a few weeks ago when a North Georgia newspaper publisher was jailed after he filed an open records request. He has since been released, all charges dropped, but the case is still attracting national attention and raises some very serious First Amendment issues. GPB's Sean Powers has the story.
I first met Fanon Focus publisher Mark Thomason a year ago on an assignment to learn more about corruption in Fanon County's recreation department. At the time, I joked with him that the stories he was reporting could make for a great HBO special. There was controversy in all corners and lots of drama. But very few people outside of North Georgia knew about his tiny paper. That's now changed.
Well, now at 5:30, a Georgia man was arrested after exercising his First Amendment right, not just as a newspaper publisher, but as a citizen.
The publisher of the Fanon Focus and the paper's attorney, Russell Stuckey, were both arrested last week and charged with identity fraud and making false statements.
First Amendment advocates I spoke with today tell me these charges against a Fanon County newspaper editor should never have been brought in the first place.
So here's what happened. A few weeks ago, Thomason was on the road on his way to meet a sheriff's deputy.
The interstate was at a standstill. Sheriff's deputies lined both sides of the interstate. The sheriff was parked in the middle of the interstate and was told to pull up to the sheriff's vehicle.
The sheriff told Thomason that there was a warrant for his arrest on three felonies, but at the time, he wasn't given details on each charge. He was sent to the Fanon County Jail for a few hours and then transferred to a jail in another county, about 40 minutes away.
A Pickens County deputy was there to transport me in. As I was getting in his back seat, my attorney, Russell Stuckey, was already in the Pickens County car. It was nice to see a face I recognized, but at the same time ask him if he was aware what in the heck is going on.
The charges stem from an open records request for canceled checks for the operating expenses of two area judges, Brenda Weaver of Appalachian Judicial Circuit and now former Superior Court Judge Roger Bradley. A Fanon County court reporter sued Thomason last year for libel after the Fanon Focus reported that a transcript didn't include racial slurs that were allegedly used by Bradley in court. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports that both judges decided to use taxpayer money to cover the court reporter's legal expenses. According to the indictment, the identity fraud charges were based on subpoenas Thomason and his attorney sent to a bank that included Judge Weaver's checking account number. There was also a false statement charge tied to Thomason after he said in his open records request that the checks appeared to have been cashed illegally. Judge Weaver didn't return my calls and emails for comment. Dan Wisenhunt is with the Georgia chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists. He says he was shocked these charges could happen anywhere in the United States.
Especially in Georgia, where we have one of the most up-to-date, unambiguous open records and open meetings laws, which, by the way, contain no clause that say if you file a records request for this or write it in this way, you could be jailed.
Speaking with the AJC, Judge Weaver defended the identity fraud charges, saying she worried Thomason would misuse her personal banking information on the checks. She's also quoted as saying that Thomason attacked her character in his newspaper and that she doesn't, quote, react well when my honesty is questioned. Donna Whitener is the mayor of Blue Ridge, which is the county seat for Fanon County. She says she doesn't think Thomason's rights were violated.
I would be real concerned if somebody was wanting copies of our checks at the city of Blue Ridge. The way he went about it wasn't correct.
Okay. But simply requesting those is one thing, but do you think that warranted charges?
I would think so. I don't think he was just trying to do it through the open records request. I think he kind of went around the system to get it.
But Dan Wisenhunt says there were better ways Judge Weaver could have handled this, other than filing the felony charges against Thomason and his attorney.
Government agencies have the right to redact information like bank account numbers. That's very clear in the Open Records Act. That's a very specific exemption. But you don't throw someone in jail for making a records request just because you thought that they've offended your honor. I'm not really sure what country she thinks she lives in, but this is the United States. We don't throw journalists in jail for asking questions.
Wisenhunt says the Society of Professional Journalists has filed a complaint against Judge Weaver with the 7-member Judicial Qualifications Commission, which could decide to have a trial over the complaints before deciding if a punishment is needed. Lester Tate chaired the commission before resigning this year.
The commission, if it takes any public action, it has to afford the judge due process rights, a public reprimand, a suspension with or without pay, removal from office, and removal from office with a lifetime ban on judicial service are all options that are out there in any case.
Now, the interesting wrinkle is that the commission is chaired by Judge Weaver.
I don't recall a member of the commission ever being the subject of a trial.
Tate says the big question facing the commission is whether Judge Weaver used her office to settle a personal grievance.
If it's decided that there is potential to move forward with it, then what you would probably have here is all of the other currently serving commissioners recusing themselves and being replaced by former members that didn't serve with the judge against whom the complaint's been filed.
The day after I spoke with Lester Tate, District Attorney Allison Soseby filed a motion to drop the charges. She declined to comment since that motion still has to be approved by a court. Tate says dropping the criminal charges has no real effect on the judicial complaint filed by the Society of Professional Journalists. In the motion to dismiss, Judge Weaver says she never intended to diminish or infringe on First Amendment rights and that the public shouldn't be discouraged to report wrongdoings by public officials. Carolyn Carlson is the director of the journalism program at Kennesaw State University. She says the state's open records laws don't need to change because of this case, but she thinks what happened has set a precedent.
That's just flies in the face of government transparency and the whole principle behind open records. And I don't think that you'll see these kinds of charges again. I think they're infamous at this point.
Back at the Fan and Focus, Mark Thomason continues to wait for the charges against him to be officially dropped. Until that happens, conditions of his bail are set in stone, which include random drug tests, searches of his home and office without a warrant, and he can't be within 200 yards of certain people, many of whom are county employees.
We're a small community, so most meetings take place at the courthouse, election board meetings, water authority meetings, county commission meetings, tax assessor meetings, and those are things that I can't cover at the moment. You know, actually early voting is taking place at the courthouse. I can't go vote.
Thomason says he's going to move forward with a lawsuit over his First Amendment rights being violated, but he says he's not sure who will be included in that suit. Two attorneys in Atlanta are representing him pro bono. For GPB News, I'm Sean Powers in Atlanta.